action.
Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Jeff has made a life of being himself, and look what it's got him. He's on a TV show at 12:30. You know what they used to put? Beep at that time.
Jeff Lutz.
Here's why I've gone vegan. It's not really like the milk or the eggs themselves. It's what milk and eggs are put into.
If you ask me, that stuff rots your brain.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you. A Monday edition. We've got NFL to talk about. We've got some college basketball. The college football playoffs start soon. We all went with the bonus pick of Army, and they let us down.
Did either of those bowl games get played? I didn't...
Memphis, West Virginia, I don't think is. I think it might be today or tomorrow. Cal UNLV is not until Wednesday.
Okay.
But a lot of points on that Army Navy game.
We all missed
it. We all missed it.
We're all in the same boat, at least.
Yeah, but you and Duda just don't want to run away with this thing.
What happened to Army? I thought they were good and Navy was falling apart a little bit.
Navy's good.
Apparently. Army doesn't have a bowl opponent, or they left, and now they got Louisiana Tech. I'm surprised KU wasn't mentioned for that spot.
You know, imagine how hard it is to put together a team to play in a bowl game after you've checked in the equipment. Well, the only reason Louisiana Tech's doing it is because the bowl game's right where they are.
Makes sense. But didn't Marshall win its conference?
Yeah, and they had 25 players get into the transfer portal.
I guess that's what comes with success these days.
That's why college sports sucks.
You either are really good and you transfer, or you're really bad and you transfer.
It's not good. Not a good situation. What'd you do over the weekend?
Nothing. Watched some football.
Didn't watch the finale of Yellowstone, I take it.
Didn't watch the premiere of Yellowstone. Got into No Good Deed a little bit. Ray Romano and Lisa Kudrow last night. It was okay. I'll probably continue it.
What's that on?
Netflix.
Huh. We watched the Greg Maddux profile. It's been out for a while on MLB Network. Boy, it reminded just how amazing that guy was.
No doubt.
Unbelievable. I mean, I knew it at the time. We were all in awe of him and what he was able to do with no higher than 93 in the fastball realm. But he hit every spot he wanted to hit.
You have to be
they
about...
had a cool thing on, too. They had him with an iPad in one location.
And Barry Bonds.
And they had Barry Bonds with an iPad.
Yeah.
Don't spoil this.
I've seen that clip a lot. It was
Barry
was very
Bonds with an iPod in another location, going through his at-bats against Maddux. Fascinating.
Yeah, two of the smartest players to ever live.
Now, with Maddux,
he had a glow.
He needed light.
He needed
Bonds didn't need
neon
it.
Neon ball.
In fact, the director just said, "Okay, light guy, you're off."
Yeah. Someday that joke will get old.
It never will.
You will. One of
do
the
you
two.
Love it?
No.
Do you love it as much as I do?
I like
you're smiling.
I'm a fan of Barry Bonds.
But you kind of like that, don't you?
No, it's predictable. I said it before you did.
I found a way to work that in on every reference to Barry Bonds.
Well, it's the same reference. It's not like you need to twist and turn to make it happen. It's the same thing every time.
You'll miss that when it's gone.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'll probably never think of it again.
You never think about, what's my dad going to say about Barry Bonds?
No, I know what's coming, so I don't need to think about...
How's he going to fit it in, or how's he going to make it seamless?
Mm-mm.
That was seamless.
It was fine. It's been done, but it was fine. Or it was fine, but it's been done, one of the two.
Chiefs get another one. They did cover. But they're getting hammered for their second half strategy. And it resulted in Patrick Mahomes tweaking an ankle. They've got three tough games remaining, and they're all played in the span of 10 days. And you wonder now how much Patrick Mahomes, you'd love to be able to just say, Patrick, shut it down for a week or two.
That's what they should do. Aren't they two games? Well, they're kind of one game up.
Buffalo's on their tails now. I know it's two games, but Buffalo has two games with New England and one with the Jets.
It's really one game.
The Chiefs have they have Houston, Pittsburgh, and Denver. So if they were to lose two of those games, which is in right, that's in the realm.
It's possible.
Both the road game, the games at Pittsburgh and Denver, they're on the road.
That makes sense.
And if they tie with Buffalo, they would have to go through Buffalo in Buffalo. I don't want that.
Sure. I don't think anybody would.
What are the Chiefs going
to
do?
I'd find a way to limit or sit Patrick Mahomes either Saturday or on Christmas. Probably not Christmas because you're going to have the Netflix audience and the NFL would never allow that. But take it easy on Saturday.
What if they won Saturday? Then you definitely, well, no, they could still. This is not over.
It's not over, but it's not over.
It's not over. It's not over.
The Chiefs have every advantage here.
Except a much tougher schedule with a lame quarterback.
So,
and I don't mean that in the term that he's not good. I mean that he's got a bum ankle.
So Kansas City has to lose two, and Buffalo has to win all three.
Buffalo will win all three.
Most likely.
That's a given. So the Chiefs have to figure out how not to lose two of these next three games.
I don't know. I'd still Carson Wentz, he can win you a game, right? He can go beat
Houston. Can he beat Houston? Boy.
Houston's not good. And we saw that
what
because
do you mean Houston's
Miami
not good?
Is really not good. And they didn't really handle
Miami. Well, you picked Miami.
Yeah, that was dumb.
And you only picked Houston for two. So you can't have revisionist history here.
It's not revisionist history. That's how little I think of Houston. Is that they're not good, but I don't know if they can cover against Miami.
Well.
Who's not good at all.
We all picked Cleveland. I picked them for.
I wrote the Chiefs down and changed it. Which.
Well, you went with the crowd. Yeah. And I meant to pick Kansas City.
There's a world where Cleveland wins that game yesterday. It would have to involve Jameis Winston not being Jameis Winston. But he made as many mistakes as he usually makes. And Kansas City took
poor
advantage.
Poor Cleveland. The poor Browns. They just are so nothing.
They don't have anything.
It's too bad.
Why is it too bad? They put themselves in this position.
Yeah, it just
could have rolled with
me.
Baker Mayfield and been a playoff team just about every
year. Baker Mayfield. Watch out for Tampa Bay.
He's good.
Nobody talks about them.
They're kind of just hanging out there. They just only recently took the lead in that division. Atlanta has tanked, and now Tampa Bay's that team. And they are dangerous in the postseason.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you can speak for that.
Would you say they're not?
Well, I would, but I can speak for it.
Why?
Because Well, I didn't watch much of the. Why wasn't the Detroit Buffalo game on in our market yesterday?
Well, you know exactly why it wasn't.
Is that a
CBS
thing?
Of course.
Did you get a lot of calls out there?
I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Back
but
in
I'm
the
sure
day,
we got an email at least one of those that I saw.
I mean, obviously we're going to get the Chiefs, but that was the early game. Why didn't we get a late game? The late window was on Fox.
We got a late game.
Who?
Denver and Indianapolis.
You sure that was on?
I watched it, so it must have been.
Why do we get that game?
Because it's regional. It's more regional than the other one, and there's Denver fans.
What, are we a bunch of idiots?
It's not my decision.
Well, make a call out there.
I don't think that would do anything.
Do you have to? Does KWCH have to go with what the network gives us?
Of course. There was a big map that someone sent. I'll see if I can go back and find this.
Well, I'm not happy with it because I would have much preferred watching that game. I got Seattle Green Bay over on Fox.
How do I send this many texts? Yeah, we were in the red area, barely out of the red area, which was Buffalo and Detroit. Most of Kansas got that game, or some of Kansas. And then Western Kansas and the Mountain States obviously got Denver.
I'm not a Denver. I don't need Denver.
And New England, Arizona was New England and Arizona. Those are the regions that got those games.
By the way, Bucky Irving, who has him in fantasy?
I'm not sure.
Somebody must.
Is Virgil?
I beat Virgil.
Did you handle Virgil?
Virgil, if you're listening, don't mess with me right now. I got this guy named Josh Allen. He's a wrecking crew.
I think we might be destined to meet in the championship game.
Well, I'll kill you.
I don't think so.
Unless they rest. Well, they won't be resting Josh Allen. And he'll be, the numbers he'll get.
You know, I got Lamar Jackson,
the numbers,
right?
He's going to get against New England and the Jets.
Maybe not. They'll be up 21-0, and then James Cook. I wouldn't like that game. I'd want a shootout like we've had the last 2 weeks.
Well, they can't stop anybody either.
You're in some trouble. But I got to go through Duda, which should be a cakewalk.
Oh, Duda's coming for you. I love it that you and Duda are meeting in the semifinals.
Sure. All three of us made it, though. That's kind of impressive.
Well, we got a bunch of bozos out there in the league. No offense to any of you if you're listening.
No, absolutely not.
Well, I mean, I only call them bozos.
Yeah, it's not
a bad,
very hurtful.
Not a bad reference. But anyway, I feel good about my fantasy team. I'm not completely out of it in the picks yet, only because you and Duda won't put anybody completely out of it.
Did we both get negative points this week?
Right now you're at -2, he's at -3.
So we've got a
shot. Only the college games left, and you've only got 4 points.
And he's probably got 3.
On the board, he's got 3.
So he can finish at 0. I can finish at 1.
Yes.
I love it. Anybody else negative?
Max has got 6 points so far, and he's got 9 out there.
All right. That's something.
The big fella has 11, and he's got 5 out there. And I've got 9, and I've got 6 out there.
So somebody can finish in the teens.
Well, we'll see.
Not great.
Boy, when you miss that bonus pick for that many points, it kills you.
Takes you down.
It's hard to recover from it. I don't know why you people bet 10.
Because I have to. Duda does. That I don't think that was the spirit of what you wanted out of the bonus game. I don't think you wanted just everybody to go 10 all the time.
No, I don't want that. But there's no – Duda doesn't have a strategic bone in his body.
No, he doesn't think it through. He just goes 10. So then I have to go 10, usually on the same team, so I don't lose 20.
Well, that could be the downfall for both of you.
Could be. Maybe I'll start to strategize a little bit more. Because following Duda, while might pay off for a week or two, eventually is going to turn on you.
Eventually, it's going to bite you.
Exactly.
869-1240, the IHOP hotline. IHOP, the breakfast partner of Xbox. And we invite your phone calls here on a Monday at 225 today. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, a frequent guest, a friend of ours and a friend of our show, will be on to talk some K-State sports. Their basketball team... I'm going to have to start paying some attention to.
You think so? Because they're playing Wichita State?
Yeah, I haven't watched a second of K-State basketball this year.
I watched their game against St. John's, and they had a really good first half because they shot the ball really well, and then that went away.
I'm going to have to – they have somebody – oh, they have Drake. When is that game?
Tomorrow, I think.
In Kansas City, right?
I don't know that.
Well, look it up.
Fine.
That's a very interesting ball game. And then on the 21st, coming up Saturday, K-State, Wichita State at Coke Arena. Right? That's Saturday?
Yes.
And your dinner is Saturday?
Well, my dinner is at 5. I think that game starts at 6. So.
Well, good grief, man.
Most of the time, those dinners don't go very long. Yeah, it's at the Sprint Center tomorrow.
Not the Sprint Center. What's it called?
That's what it says it's the T-Mobile Center.
Why in the world are you having a birthday dinner the night of the K-State-Wichita State game?
There's also the Chiefs play, right?
Well, now you're just now. I don't know if I'm going to go to your dinner.
Well, they play at noon, so you'll be fine.
Are you sure that Wichita State K-State game is 6?
Pretty sure. That's why I didn't schedule it for 6.
Well, that's just awful.
But you'll be fine.
Not really.
Well, then don't come.
I may not.
We got a lot of people. I don't know if we'll have room. Everyone said yes.
Everyone said yes.
Yeah, we've got 12 in the mix.
Well, what would it do if we didn't come?
Well, it'd make things a lot more fun.
You know what? If I didn't come and my wife didn't come, that thing would be the snoozer of the year, man.
Please.
You got to, in the other 10 people, if there's a, if you could put a 100 personality person, you know what I'm saying?
Let's hear this out.
If I'm 100, which I am in personality, clearly. The other 10 are barely 40.
Combined?
Together.
Uh-oh. I don't think that's accurate.
Well, Nate, who's going to be the life of that thing?
It would be me.
Oh, God.
I'm so funny.
I about fell asleep just...
Well, then, again, no need for you to be
there. You know what I'd rather do?
Sleep?
I'd rather watch a fly go up a drape than be around these people.
No, they're all very fun.
They, of course, know I'm kidding. We look forward to the birthday, number 42.
That
they just
crazy?
Keep rolling through.
42 years old. What is
when I,
that?
When your mother and I brought you home from the hospital, I don't think either of us could have thought we'd still be around when you were 42.
Well, she's not.
She's not, unfortunately. But I mean, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think you were thinking about the year 2024.
But I have friends I went to school with whose parents are still alive.
What? How is that even possible?
I don't. It's because people sometimes live into their 90s.
And I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of anyone in their
90s? Never.
Isn't your grandfather in his 90s?
Not yet. He's 48 years old. I mean, must have turned 90 this year, or 89. I can't.
Well, if he's 48 years older.
But he just had a birthday, so I'm pretty sure that was his 89th.
Well, some people live that long.
Our how old did our Aunt Mildred?
I think she got into the late 80s.
Yeah, at least.
I'd have to go back and look. I mean, you can't just ask me these questions.
Just asking, not necessarily needing
a
concrete answer.
My aunts were named, and this tells you what people named their kids in the early 1900s. We had Mildred.
Sure.
We called her Aunt Millie.
I remember.
We had Aunt Phyllis, who wasn't biologically my aunt, but emotionally was, Phyllis.
Right.
Called her Aunt Philly.
I don't think that happened.
What do you mean, Aunt Philly and Aunt Millie?
Millie and Philly.
Right.
That never happened.
I called her that
You
occasion.
Didn't. Every time you referred to them, you said Millie and Phyllis.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
Mill and Phil.
I had an Aunt Esther. Who was born in the year 1900.
Not a surprise.
And who I got to spend quite a bit of time with as a very young boy.
I assume that was your
mother. That woman was awesome. Just so fun.
Is that your father's sister?
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense.
And she lived over in Douglas, Kansas, and was a teacher there. She was a business teacher. And she had this little house there close to the school, and you know, Douglas isn't a very big town, and I just loved being over there. And then my other aunt was Aunt Fern. And
I know her.
She did very well. Her husband did very well in life.
Was that also your father's sister?
Yes. Well, I had others on my mother's side who were uncles, and then one aunt. Quit doing that.
Sorry.
That kind of stuff irritates me to no end.
Well, you're going to have to figure...
Quit fidgeting. Quit kicking my furniture.
I wasn't. There's a hockey puck down there.
Quit doing that.
Okay.
It's distracting.
Anyway, Fern.
Yes. She married Tom Kenton, and he did very well. And
in what industry?
I don't know. Business of some kind. And at the end of her life, she had accumulated pretty good money and left it mostly to the Salvation Army.
Yeah, that's a worthy cause, I suppose.
Did you ever visit Aunt Fern?
Yeah, I was there a couple times.
I know you were there as a youngster.
That was it. Took me there when you went to spring training in Arizona, and she lived in Arizona.
She lived in Sun City, Arizona. And funny person.
We went to a Phoenix Suns game.
Yeah.
Remains the only NBA game I've ever attended.
All right, there's a little run through my history. You know everything about me, man.
I know.
You should be thankful that I'm an open book. I got a few secrets I'm going to protect. Time for a break. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. We'll join the show next. We'll get a little insight into K-State basketball. They're preparing for a bowl game. We'll find out what that means to K-State as well. Back in a moment.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Here is Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. K-State basketball has an interesting game tomorrow night at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City against Missouri Valley Conference powerhouse, Drake. Fitz, welcome, and Merry Christmas to you. And if we don't have you on again before Christmas, I hope your holidays are good.
Well, I hope they are, too. I'll be in Phoenix for a bowl game, so I'm sure it'll snow, and I'll get lots of presents from my employee, Ryan Gilbert.
There you go.
Look, everyone kind of poo-pooed this game when they saw it on the schedule, you know, about Drake being the big game in the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Well, as we get here for the game tomorrow night, Drake's clearly the better team. They've got a list of good wins. They've got a first-year coach who has, you know, had similar portal success that Jerome Tang did in his first year. And I think Ben McCollum is doing an amazing job. And this is a really important game for K-State. This is one they don't want to lose on many levels.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the portal success that Jerome Tang had in his first year. Not as much the second year. Thought that might be a strength in this year. But it's been kind of up and down. Coleman Hawkins, the big money man, hasn't done a ton. Brennan Housen has been good. Achor is no longer with the team. How would you very early, grade out the transfer portal job that Jerome Tang has done this year?
I think talent-wise, this is a pretty good team. They just haven't found their common footing, working together and maybe, not that Achor was the problem, but maybe limiting one person from the locker room will help. I'm not sure. They've got things they have to figure out in-house. They've got things they better start applying to the basketball court. We've seen them do it. We've seen them play at a high level in some instances, including in the first half at St. John's, and then it just came apart. So I think there's a good team lurking in there, but we're going to see if the players and the coaches can get that team to perform on a regular basis, and as of now, there's that strong evidence against that, but we'll see how it all shakes out.
We're talking with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. All the K-State news you could need or want at GoPowerCat.com. You should subscribe if you're a K-State fan or even if you're just a fan of college sports. So this is a big stretch. K-State has Drake. We talked about that game. They come here to Wichita to face the Shockers on Saturday night. Then they opened Big 12 play with Cincinnati, who has played very well. They're obviously a legitimate team. How many of these games does K-State need to win to ignite or keep the fan base, what's the word I'm looking for, intrigued?
I think the answer should be three. I think they should win them all if they want to keep this fan base engaged and intrigued. But I think two would do it. And don't ask me which two, because I don't think fans would be happy about losing any of them, not recognizing that Cincinnati is really good this year and might be a real problem even inside Brahma's Coliseum. Again, the biggest enemy of this team is itself, is its inability to get beyond where it's at right now, and it should be a better team. And whether that's the players or the coaches or the whole system, I don't know. But until Kansas State defeats its own demons, it's not going to defeat many teams.
Yeah, who do you kind of expect to evolve into this team's best player or go-to guy? That seems like something they're missing, and I guess there's not anything necessarily bad about a different guy playing well from night to night, but do you think they have that guy on the roster right now?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they've got some guys that can really fill it up. I think Doug McDaniels is the obvious first choice for that. Coleman Hawkins is a casual scorer. What I mean by that is when he gets going, he still looks casual about it. But he doesn't get going enough. He's not assertive enough on that end of the court. And when he starts to assert himself, I think K-State's pretty darn good. And that includes the first half of St. John's when he didn't really score. He rebounded and fed the ball to Brendan Housen, who was on fire. He did an incredible job of focusing the offense around Brendan Housen, as did his teammates. But I thought Coleman Hawkins was really good at that. At the end of the day, that's kind of what they're lacking. What are we trying to accomplish on this possession? And when someone like Brendan Housen is on fire, that's an obvious answer. When he cooled down in the second half, they didn't have an answer. So someone's going to have to assert themselves on a regular basis. And I just feel like if he keeps himself on track, that's Doug McDaniel.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest. We're talking K-State. Let's switch to the women. They're 11-1. KU's 10-1. TCU 10-1. West Virginia 10-1. K-State's only loss is to nationally ranked Duke, but their schedule hasn't been. It hasn't been full of big name teams. Where do you think K-State women are right now? How good is this team? We know last year that we all thought they were on a Final Four trajectory. They had some injuries that kind of got in the way of that. What's the upside ceiling for this team?
Very similar. And, they went into the portal and was recruiting, addressed some of the inabilities when Aoka Lee was hurt. The Poindexter young lady, she can ball, and she doesn't need her out there to do it. Which has, been an issue for K-State. Who gets the ball when she's not on the court? Well, now they have an obvious answer. This is a really talented team, and now their next step is to perform at a high level when they're in those games, which they've done against Iowa for whatever reason, and Caitlin Clark, and haven't really done in, consistently against any other opponent. So I think now is the time, either this women's basketball program asserts itself as a national and Big 12 power, or it just kind of remains a really good program. Really solid program in both counts, but not knocking on, national titles door and not consistently being the one that everyone chases for a Big 12 title. That's the next step. If they get there, they're going to be set for a while because this staff can bring in talent and put it together pretty well.
Just to go back to Saturday's game real quick, I guess from a bigger picture standpoint, do you expect the K-State-Wichita State series to continue after this four-game agreement? What are the circumstances that maybe would enable that to happen?
Well, I think one of the things that Kansas State probably would like is getting the Big 12 basketball schedule back down to 18 games. It went to 20 this year, and the coaches feel like it's just way too much and affects their ability to kind of schedule some tougher games in the non-conference. But even with that, I would hope that this game is a series is something they just start back over, exactly what they did last time, and let's start this back over, maybe get into a better rotation, you know, K-State, Wichita State. But I'd love to see it restart. I think this is an important series, and don't give me the nonsense that K-State has more to lose than Wichita State. K-State's got a lot to gain by winning this game Saturday.
Couldn't agree more, but I've banged that drum for a long, long time. I can get K-State to listen easier than I can get KU to listen, which is a lost cause, but oh well. Let's switch gears to football. Tim Fitzgerald with us. K-State and Rutgers in the Rate Bowl coming up the day after Christmas. Rate that bowl for me.
This is a good opportunity for K-State. You know, the thing I love about the Rate Bowl is this is the fifth time K-State's been in this bowl game, and all five times it's had different names. So there's a consistency about that is really kind of cool. It started with the Copper Bowl. This is the Copper Bowl that eventually moved from Tucson to Tempe to Phoenix. And I think this is a good opportunity for K-State to do the same thing they did last year. And last year was obvious a transition to a new quarterback. But they're going to have a new running back for this bowl game, and they're going to have some new players out there. I really see most of these bowls now as, they complete the season before, and they kind of offer a reward for the final step. But the best players are opting out, typically. I mean, if they're going to the league, most commonly they'll sit the game out. Bowl games have really become, if you're not in the playoff, an extension of the season coming up, to get you prepared for spring football, kind of get some answers heading into that where players are at, and maybe those players can better understand where they sit as they come out of one season and head into another where they're at the depth chart.
I think that sounds appealing on the surface, but can you get fans to buy into that concept of, okay, this is an early look at 2025?
You know, I think the day of these bowl games and their importance to fan bases are done. The playoff has ended that. And now, can you get a fun trip? And, you know, will fans go see Rutgers and Phoenix? I doubt it. I think it's going to be a really small crowd there. Plus, the game's on December 26th, which is a major issue for a lot of fans. But I would say Iowa State's going to take a lot of people to Orlando to face Miami. I mean, I think that catches their attention. But I think the heyday of bowl games, even when smaller bowl games meant a lot to programs, I think that's just kind of passed on, and it's just not going to be the same from here on out. And I personally, this is an idea I haven't really pitched out there, that I think most of these bowl games need to be shut down. If ESPN wants some inventory, then play a series of games in Vegas and, you know, Atlanta, easy places to get to, fun places to go, Nashville, and just put a product out there and quit calling them bowl games. Just make them postseason games. I just think the bowl game thing is dead and gone. And they lost me when they kept changing their names and selling out to sponsors. You don't really cherish your own tradition, like you say.
Can you go through some of those changes that K-State will have on the field for this game? Because admittedly, that's hard for me to follow, especially in December, while the most important part of the season is still to come.
Yeah, you know, on the offensive side alone, you're going to see different running backs. You'll probably see a lot of Joe Jackson and Dylan Edwards. And the cool thing now about bowl games is it's same with like championship games. They're not part of your four-game count for a redshirt, so everyone could play in this game, which is a good rule change because that ties into exactly what I just said. Maybe there's some guys that weren't ready for the first, 12 games, and now in bowl prep are showing that they've come a long ways, and you've had a receiver leave, and maybe you let one of those young guys get out there. So I think we'll see new receivers. We'll certainly see a new running back, as a starter. We'll see a new right tackle for sure, maybe some other shuffling along that line, and I think defensively you'll see maybe less departures. But you're going to find out real quick what the depth is at cornerback now that they're losing one of their young guys out there and I don't know who will step up. They're really short in corner. That's an area where they've already addressed once in the portal, and I expect them to go back and revisit that.
We always appreciate your time and your willingness to come on our show, Fitz. Thank you. We'll talk to you after Christmas, okay?
You bet. Thank you, boys.
Happy holidays.
GoPowerCat.com. We enjoy getting our K-State fix here on the show. Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. He covers Wichita State athletics and most notably Wichita State men's basketball. Shockers went to DePaul in Chicago on Saturday, played a good first half, lost night by 19, not a very good second half, especially defensively for the Shockers. Taylor, hello, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. So where are we with Shocker basketball at this juncture? They have a good record. I think we've seen them play well more often than not. There's some pieces on this team that I think are very good pieces. But in a couple of tests against maybe two of the better teams on their schedule, they have not answered the bell well. Where do you think the Shockers are?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough to tell. Like you said, you know, 10 games in, you know, the 8 games that, you know, they're, you know, quad 2, quad 3, quad 4, you know, they've taken care of business. And then the 2 teams that are, you know, DePaul is going to be a borderline quad 1. But, you know, those quad 1 games, yeah, you know, you lose by, 15 plus, you know, 20 DePaul, and then Florida, you know, got way out of hand. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough to tell, and, you know, we're not going to find out too much more, you know, tomorrow night against Kansas City. K-State on Saturday, that's going to be an interesting one. That's going to be another kind of data point for this team. And, you know, I think they're certainly better than they were last year. But, yeah, I think they're just not to that point where a lot of Shocker fans want them to be. And, yeah, I mean, it is a little frustrating because, you know, they got off to that 8-1 start. And, you know, if they would have won that game at DePaul, now you're kind of, you know, you're putting yourself in position to be in that mix come March. But, you know, you lose that one by 19 in runaway fashion. And that's a tight game with, you know, 13 minutes left. And to get outscored by 19 the last, you know, down the stretch, very disappointing performance. Because I thought WSU played really, really well, you know, for those first, you know, 25, 30 minutes.
What did you think it was, if there was much of a talent discrepancy between DePaul and Wichita State? And maybe it wasn't talent, maybe it was approach. Because I think DePaul just kind of went into the valley and got some shooters, and now they're shooting. And Wichita State, I don't know, could they have done that? Is that a better approach than what Wichita State is doing? They took some threes, but that's not really their game. They haven't shot well for several years. Are they going at it the right way, in your opinion, Wichita State?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd have to go back and really research this, but kind of my gut instinct tells me, you know, when they moved to the American, this dates back to the Marshall days, when they first moved to the American, they felt like, you know, WSU coaching staff, they felt like they had to upgrade the athleticism, upgrade the athlete that they were getting, and they kind of sacrificed shooting when they made that move to the American because they feel like they, you know, they have to be able to defend, and, you know, it just takes a higher caliber athlete in the AAC, and, you know, that's kind of, you know, that first year in the American, that was the last great shooting team that Wichita State has had, and, yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, you look back on, you know, it's been 6-7 years now of, you know, either average or most times way below average 3-point shooting. And, you know, this DePaul team, you know, I don't think it was a talent discrepancy. I think they just made a ton of shots. You know, I think in a lot of cases, if Wichita State plays like that in the first half, you know, they're going to be up by, you know, 10, 12, 15 points. But because DePaul made 11 three-pointers, you know, It was, I thought WSU played incredible the first half, you know, to be up by five at halftime against a team that made 11 threes. You know, that's very hard to do. And obviously they just ran out of steam. The second half was a different story, but you know, that's a different game. You know, if they do have that 12, 14, 15 point lead at halftime, well, now they have, you know, some room for a cushion for some of that DePaul hot shooting in the second half. And that's, you know, a different game, but you know, that was just one of those games, you know, 17 threes by DePaul. That's going to be hard to overcome, you know, for WSU. And they played really well. And then, you know, they hit a wall there in the second half. And, yeah, I mean, I think it is a little demoralizing when, you know, you get down by 6, 8, 10 points and you don't really have the three-point shot to turn to. So I do think that impacts Wichita State, especially when it gets down in games, because it just it makes that uphill climb even tougher.
Talking with Taylor Eldridge, beat writer for Wichita State Athletics for the Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com. I wanted you to go deeper into Quincy Ballard. You're into analytics. I'm more old school. I just trust my eyes to a large degree. This is a guy who has an amazing field goal percentage, but he doesn't shoot a lot. He did have 8 shots against DePaul, made 6 of them. Do they need to utilize Quincy Ballard more in this offense, or is he just a guy that's going to get some offensive rebounds, putbacks? What's your assessment of him as an offensive player?
Yeah, he has improved. You know, back to the basket, he has scored a handful of times this year. In the post, you know, with the post-up move. And we didn't see that last year. Last year was strictly, you know, basically just catching lobs at the rim. And this year he has added that to his game. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious, you know, you have to, you know, the more Quincy Ballard in the offense, the better it's going to be. The problem is, you know, how do we get him looks, you know, if you're Wichita State? And that's, to you know, the point earlier, you know, they don't have the three-point shooting, so teams are able to really crunch down in the paint. And you know, when he's coming off those screens and rolling to the rim, you know, there's just not a lot of space to operate, because you know, defenses are able to play off and you know, what's called tag the roller, basically, you know, providing help defense when Quincy Ballard rolls to the rim. You know, there's always someone right there in the way. So yeah, I mean, the lack of three-point shooting plays a role in that, because, you know, if this is a team with great shooting, I think Quincy Ballard, he might be averaging, you know, 15, 16 points, because he would have, you know, wide open lanes to the basket way more often than he does. So, yeah, I mean, I think you have to try to incorporate him more, but he's also not a guy that you can just throw it to in the post and say, hey, go get me, you know, 4 or 5 baskets. He can do that every now and then, but, you know, obviously his bread and butter is going to be in the pick and roll game, catching lobs. And, you know, they try to come up with, you know, creative ways to create space and create like empty side, you know, places for him to roll to. But, you know, it's just really tough when the defense is so geared toward, you know, if we take away this, you know, they're not going to be able to beat us, you know, shooting jump shots. So that's kind of the challenge facing WSU, but you're right. You know, more Quincy Ballard, you know, more efficient offense for WSU.
So, you know, Ronnie DeGray has been out, and I don't know if it's coincidentally, but in that stretch, Wichita State has played its two worst games. Is he an X factor? Do you see him maybe not making a difference as far as wins and losses go in those two games, because they were pretty one-sided, but how much of a difference does a guy like that ultimately make?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, Florida, you know, he's not going to make much of a difference. I do think in the DePaul game, he could have been a pretty big difference maker, because, you know, WSU, they can go small, you know, especially against a DePaul team that was shooting, you know, all 5 spots on the floor were shooting. You know, you can put Ronnie DeGray at the 5 and switch everything on defense, and that's really going to clog things up. You know, where WSU's defense has gotten into trouble is, you know, when they have, you know, the 5 men involved, you know, Quincy Ballard, Mate Bozniak, those guys are usually, you know, in drop coverage, you know, away from the 3-point line, And when their man screens, that's when, you know, other guards can get an advantage on the other team. So if you have Ronnie DeGray in one of those spots, you know, I think he does, you know, make a pretty big difference in that DePaul game. And he just does a lot of just little stuff that, you know, it doesn't necessarily show up on a box score. A lot of the rebounds do, but, you know, he's just always, he always boxes out. He's very physical on defense. A lot of the stuff he does on defense doesn't show up in the box score. Kind of similar to, you know, what we saw Dexter Dennis do. You know, obviously not the perimeter stopper of Dexter, but just like the little things, like pushing guys out of the post, always being in good position, boxing out. A lot of those little stuff that doesn't show up. So Ronnie DeGray, very valuable to this team, and he just adds some toughness, and I think that's what's missing right now with WSU, and you know, he could make a difference in that regard.
Taylor Eldridge, our guest, I got one more question for you, and it involves this game coming up Saturday night at Coke Arena against Kansas State. Crowds have been not good, to put it mildly, for Wichita State basketball this year. This is going to be a big crowd. How important is it for Wichita State to win this game Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge chance for them to win back fans. And, you know, there's going to be obviously a lot of K-State fans, a lot of, you know, K-State fans here in Wichita. They're going to come to the game. But, you know, a lot of WSU fans that, you know, wouldn't ordinarily go to a game in today's age, they say, hey, this is a, you know, big game. I want to go to the Roundhouse, you know, Saturday night and catch the Shockers. And, you know, this is a chance to impress those fans. And I've written about this before, you know, it's not just about winning. It's about, you know, the style that they play, the manner, you know, the toughness, the grit. You know, I think WSU fans have really been missing that over the last few years. You know, we've seen teams, you know, get off to good starts, win games. But, you know, I think they really miss those days of, you know, playing angry, to use that, you know, that old phrase. But, you know, I do think that WSU fans really appreciate that style of basketball, that brand of basketball. And, you know, I think if they can get back to that, you know, winning loose balls, you know, playing tough defense, I think fans really appreciate that instead of, you know, winning these games, you know, 90-84 or something like that, where, you know, there's not a ton of defense or rebounding. So it's a big chance for WSU. I think at this point, you know, if you ask the team, I mean, I don't think they care about style points. They just want to win this game, you know, especially going into conference season. This would be a huge boost for them. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be the most well-attended game, probably the Paul Mills era. You know, I don't know if it's going to get to sellout status, but I do think there's going to be, you know, 9,000 at least. So, big chance for, you know, the Shockers to, you know, leave an impression on their fans Saturday night.
Wichita State 8-2. They have Kansas City coming up before Saturday when they face Kansas State at Coke Arena. Taylor, always appreciate your time. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
Thanks.
All right, Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. We'll be back. We've got an hour left, Jeff and me, and you'll want to hear it. Stay with us. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.